there are many, many different ways into this, and I'm going to mention two of them. One very good way is to take notice of all the inconsistencies, all the incongruities and irregularities that there are all the time. These are opportunities for liberation. They create gaps. They make spaces we can use in ways I'll show in a minute. Normally, we prefer not to look at inconsistencies. It's more comfortable and convenient to ignore them. Or at least, that's how it feels. But then, of course, our delusions just continue causing us problems. So it's not really so comfy to ignore them. Anyway, let's take a prime example of the kind of incongruity I'm talking about. If we take a cool look into our experience, we'll catch ourselves constantly thinking, this is me, or this is mine. It's totally normal to do that. We all do it, but actually it's highly incongruous. It doesn't fit reality at all. Things are never, ever like that. Yet, it's how we always relate to things. My house, we say. My garden, my car, my trousers, my glasses, my hair, my checkbook, my husband, my country. Of course, there is usually a sense in which it's accurate to think in such terms. In the case of my house and garden, it's accurate in a legal sense. But in real terms, there is just a person here and a house there. The relationship is purely legal. When we die, someone else will have just the same relationship with it. Unless it's a completely new house, there will have been many others who have already had that relationship. So the way that it is ours, and this is important, the way that it's ours is not firm and fixed, as we tend to assume. Our assumption is incongruous. It doesn't fit. It isn't true. We're pulling the wool over our own eyes. And the same goes not only for houses, but absolutely everything in our experience, including our own bodies. In what accurate sense do you own your body? Even legally? I know it feels as though you do, but in reality, who exactly owns what? There's a habitual notion there which we can just open up. It's not as though we have to sort of say, right, I don't own it anymore, but we need just to open up that area and learn from it. In truth, the idea is very incongruous. What is happening just isn't like that. How it is not easy to say, but it's not like that. Now, you may think that this is a very strange kind of pursuit. But the really strange thing is the delusion that the practice is exposing. It is truly strange if we can bear to consider the issue to regard things like our body as mine. But the feeling is very strong, isn't it? I mean, it's perhaps the strongest set of feelings that we have. Indeed, our notions of me and mine are so loaded with potential for unclarity, confusion, and powerful emotion. We all become enormously distressed and enormously elated as well when the feeling of me is gratified or threatened. Of course we do. But if, even for a few moments, we can relax that tendency to get so emotionally aroused and simply experience the situation as it actually is, if we do that, then something somewhere relaxes. Life becomes simpler somehow. Life becomes more elemental, more natural, more real. So here's something, already very much in our present experience, that we can use to bring the Dharma to life. Of course it's something very subtle and awkward to get at. It's hard to recognize our ego grasping, because we don't want to let that go. But when we start noticing the suffering that it causes everybody, not to mention ourselves, we start getting truly interested in liberating ourselves from it. Once we get genuinely interested, we start seeing it much more often. And once we start seeing it, we'll naturally want to let it go. And then at last, we can really relax. What do we actually see when we do this? I think this is very interesting. There's that grasping I've just mentioned, grasping at artificial ownership of things for the sake of an artificial sense of security. But we only have to stay with that realization for a little while to see that things can never actually be grasped in the first place. This is the magical aspect of emptiness. Actually, things in themselves are completely free. A house is just a house. Trousers are just trousers. Food is just food. There is never anything extra. If we relax the tension we bring to every situation with our ego grasping, it's already liberated. And this is something that is both totally amazing and totally ordinary. Now, wait a minute, you may think. My relationships with those things may be empty. The relationships may be messy and painful sometimes. But at the same time, they are my life. They are everything to me. Does Buddhism want to take my life away from me? Well, of course it doesn't want to do that. It's just saying that the more we grasp, the more unpleasant and unreal life becomes. Ego grasping is what turns life into samsara, as it's called. But life can be nirvana, can be liberation. We can come to see that the whole of existence is intrinsically free in its own nature. So we can start to realize this by looking at the little incongruities that pop up all over the place and seeing how they point out the nature of things all the time.